Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 252 for June 15th, 2016, Field Day in the Milky Way. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. Bob Heil is not with us this week. I believe he's on the road somewhere, but we've got a fine crew lined up tonight to talk all about the upcoming Field Day. I tell you, it's been a rough week here so far. I've had a transmitter harassing me since 2 a.m., and still no end in sight on that one, but made progress on it anyway. We've got our good friend down to the south, where the heat index was pretty doggone hot. How hot was it, Don?
It was 107, by the way, and I'm looking through the latest DX Engineering catalog because I'm getting ready for Field Day. I've got my hat, I've got my shades, I've got my HT, and I've got a beverage, you know, because it's going to be hot. So I've got a New Orleans Saints, who dat, and of course I've got one of the most important things that I need for my Field Day enjoyment, and that's one of these. So y'all carry on, I'll be right back.
Okay, Don, let me just ask you, what band can you work with that?
That's probably UHF, I'm thinking. It depends. You know, it's about the right size right there. So, which square am I?
Yeah.
You might work on 220. I mean, it's big around, so it's probably really broad banded.
Okay, cool. We've also got Val with us tonight, who's got some special tips for us for Field Day, and Amanda will be joining her too a little bit later in the show. Hi, Val.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, it was hot here too. You'd think up in Illinois we wouldn't get 101 heat index, but we did today. Kind of dreading, hopefully it'll cool down for Field Day, but getting really excited. 10 days away, and boy, did we have fun over the weekend for the June VHF contest. We actually worked 23 JAs. So that was a first for me. So it was good openings on 6 meters. So getting ready for Field Day, though, I can't wait.
Wow, 23 JAs on 6 meters?
Roger that.
Well, yep. That is.
We worked 3 Echo Alpha 8s. It was getting out just outside of the U.S. So that was really exciting for me.
Wow, I bet. Yeah, 6 meters. I can never catch it open. I've only, I caught it, I think, last Field Day. It just happened to open up for a little while. I worked a few contacts on it, and I think that's probably most of the 6 meters that I have ever done. We've also got Gordon West that will be with us here tonight. And I'm not sure if Gordo, there he is. Hi, Gordo.
AI George, yep, we're here. We were working with our computer to bring up the Field Day files, but we've got a few that will be coming. But I want to remind everybody, this coming Saturday is the Derby Radio Shack in Derby, Kansas. They're big. It's like a sale. It's like a ham get-together. Buyers and sellers welcome. So if you're in Derby, Kansas, Mark KB0MOF says, come on over on Saturday for the Derby Radio Shack get-together. And, George, if we're ready, and Victor, I'll give you the CWQ to go to Field Day. Let's take a look and see what's in store for Field Day. That is a week from this coming Friday to get started, but Saturday and Sunday. So, Victor, let's go ahead and roll those Field Day short shots. First of all, for your field day, we encourage all of you that if you really want to attract visitors, you really need to do it with some large signage. And this sign has been to many different field days, but it says the program, Ham Radio, field day, on the air here. It attracts attention. And that's what we want to do, is to get more visitors in. Now, a big suggestion is to work out ahead of time how you're going to do field day. This is the spread them out. And that is, you have field day stations all over the perimeter so that their antennas are spaced far apart. And the good side is the operators operating in the spread out mode can operate with headsets on, and they do not need to worry about interrupting their QSOs to say hi to the public, in that this type of operation is great, all spread out with headsets plugged into the radios, because it will probably not attract the public to stand behind someone on a headset talking on the radio where they're not able to hear the return audio coming back. So this is fine if you're wanting to play field day and help win hundreds and thousands of points and bust the pileups and be the king station on the air. And electronic logging certainly is the way to go. So the big headsets are fine. Just plug them in, and you'll be the only one hearing the excitement coming out of the radio. And incidentally, that's the Heil headset. That's a great one, but it only works well if you have return audio coming out of the HF transceiver, so you can hear yourself talk. If you can't hear your own voice coming back to you through the headphones on transmit, it is terribly annoying, and you'll find you've got to take off one ear, and it's just a mess. So make sure that if you're using some of the great headsets like Heil professional headset, that you do have return audio that you can get out of the transceiver to hear your own voice. Will not work with a little mobile unit. And for those of you really wanting to bust the pileups, certainly computer logging is the way to go. Just remember, though, you've got to be able to see the computer. And here we see it with a little case around it to keep it nice and dark. So another alternate for field day is you're in the center and you spread out all of the ham radio antennas in the perimeter, yet all of your operation is together. And hopefully we've got one more shot. Yeah, there's a good idea where you got the greeters there. And those that want to come in and see the action will see your field day setup, and they'll see all the operators together rather than spread around. And if those operators are trying to attract more PR for ham radio, which we really need, you'll find that they'll operate with the headsets not plugged in all the way so that we get audio coming out of the local speakers, so that those standing over your shoulder will get the excitement when these stations come in from thousands of miles away. So this is another example of field day where all of the operators are together. Well, they're spaced out maybe 5 feet apart, so we don't overlap. But all of the antennas are in the perimeter, yet all of the operators at one location. And as you see here, there's almost no way that the public coming in can't be missed and welcomed and are signed in, are given ARRL ham radio materials. And this will help our ham radio service grow. And it's good for the operators because they have operators next to them on different radios, and they, too, can sort of catch the assignment. So that's the big decision this year, is which way are you going to operate field day? And that is all spread out, or are you going to operate field day where you're all together, really keeps the enthusiasm up, not plugging your headset in all the way, so a little bit of speaker audio comes out of that HF radio, so those overlooking your shoulder will say, whoa, that ham radio, that sounds like fun. When you dial around, they'll hear the effects of the dial. So one way or the other way, We sure hope that you'll enjoy Field Day. And next week, we'll get a little bit more technical on bandpass filters and so on. But for those of you with a DX Engineering catalog, we're going to be talking a lot about filters next week, which we find on page 63. So get that catalog and be thinking about how we're going to be able to operate with so many stations simultaneously on the air. We'll see everybody next week for more on Field Day. So back to our main man.
Well, I don't know if I'm the main man, all right, I'm looking on page 63, but the stuff that I want to talk about is actually, and this is the new DX Engineering catalog, the stuff I want to talk about is on page 117, because that's where the coax tools are, right there. Very important stuff. You got your connectors and you got your cables, but you can't just, you know, lop the end off of it and cram it in the back of your radio and expect it to work. No, you got to have proper cable assembly, and don't take chances on doing it the wrong way and using hardware store coaxial cable prep tools. Vice grips is a great thing, but it ain't good for putting coaxial cable together. DX Engineering has everything you need. Professional quality tools to help you properly prepare the cable for the proper connector and ensure that your equipment will operate at peak potential. And they have a series of combos that DX Engineering has just introduced that include properly sized stripping tool and cable gripper. And you'll find it right there in the DX Engineering catalog. Two versions are available depending on which cable you're using. They have larger OD cables for 213 and DXE8U. And they have the one for smaller OD cables like 8X or Mini 8. And these are great. And they'll work on foam or solid dielectric with either PVC or PE jackets. And everything you need to do a good installation of a PL259 connector onto a 50-ohm coax cable. And the cable grippers make working with coax so much easier on your hand. Also, DX Engineering recently unveiled a new kit, which has drop cutters for 8U and 8X size cables to lay to prepare the ends for crimp-style connectors. As a tool to prep the cable for the PL259 connectors, end connectors, BMC connectors. It includes multiple tools for each cable size. And four cutters in all for most DX Engineering and Amphenol crimp style connectors. Also included DX Engineering's cable grippers, replacement blades, precision shears, even a set of channel lock cable cutting pliers. It's good stuff. It all comes bundled in a molded case complete with a custom foam insert so that everything stays where it should be. Have you ever seen Summit Racing's spring-loaded wire stripping tool? Yeah, Summit Racing, of course, it's a speed shop. It's one of the best-known and biggest automotive speed shops in the world. Well, there's a lot of stuff in there that is totally relatable to ham radio, and the spring-loaded wire stripping tool is one, because you're working with wire. Of course, in an automotive section, you got a lot of wires too. It makes stripping wires and the installation off the ends of 24 to 10 gauge wires absolutely a breeze. The stripping action is completed almost instantly with very little physical effort. The tool is a must-have if you do a lot of around-the-house wiring as well. Perfect for radio wires, low-voltage DC power cables, and, like I said, automotive wiring. It can also be used to crimp basic spade-type connectors on your wire, and now the stripping tool is improved with greater adjustability and a more rugged design. DX Engineering, part of Summit Racing, and if you've got a car and, you know, you've kind of like high-performance stuff and racing and stuff, you need to check out Summit Racing as well as DX Engineering, because it's all the same family. Great people from the top to the bottom. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if it's in stock, it will be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe and make as many field day contacts as you possibly can. They've even got a whole bunch of national parks on the air, ARRL NPOTA stuff in the catalog. You got to check it out. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Great people, great products, expert advice, and great supporters of Ham Nation, which we thank them tremendously for. We've got the solar update coming up after Amateur Radio Newsline. Dr. T will be with us, but first let's get the news of the week, and then we'll check in with Dr. T, and then I've got some ancient field day photos for you, so let's go ahead and check out Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2015, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 15th, 2016. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service springs into action most effectively in the aftermath of a tragedy or during a crisis. That was the case in Houston, Texas last week as the region was besieged by deadly flooding.
Unrelenting floods in Harris County, Texas, and much of the southeastern region of the state spurred the county's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to move to a level of increased readiness, Level 3, activating the Amateur Radio Emergency Service in South Texas District 14 for a short while on June 2nd. The section's emergency coordinator, Frank Aguilar, N5SSH, said that in spite of the fact that communications were not disrupted, ARE's efforts were nonetheless needed to deal with what he called situational awareness issues in the weather-drenched region. Flooded streets pose a particular problem as the dangerous weather failed to let up. District 14 Emergency Coordinator Jeff Walter, KE5FGA, requested South Texas District 14 ARE's volunteers to report through web EOC or lacking access to use repeaters. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Besides emergency communications, another way amateur radio shines is in public service. One of the premier running events on the planet is looking for hams to volunteer their time and talents. Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The Boston Amateur Radio Club is looking for volunteer radio operators to help at the Boston Athletic Association's 10K on Sunday, June 26th. Hams who want to provide support for the event should plan to be available on that day from 6 a.m. to noon and will need to bring a handheld dual-band radio. One with a gain antenna would be helpful. Returning volunteers and newcomers can both sign up now and should visit the 10K site at BAA.org, navigate to the volunteer page, and select the button reading Volunteer Now. Then just follow the instructions and complete the application. If you have questions about the process, contact Brett Smith, AB1RL, the Ham Club's Public Service Coordinator, at AB1RL at BrettCSmith.org. That's Brett with two T's, CSmith.org.
Ham radio and scouting go together like, well, ham and cheese.
This week in radio scouting, we have three scout camps on the air in Missouri, Ohio, and New Mexico. William Coverdale, WD0BC, will be the control operator for the Portable Zero station at Camp Geiger in St. Joseph, Missouri. William will have the camp on the air on HF Voice Wednesdays through Fridays from 1500 to 1700 Zulu time, beginning June 15th and continuing through the summer until July 23rd. John Bador, KC8KI, will be the control operator for the Portable 8 station at Camp Wyandotte at Firelands Reservation in Wakeman, Ohio. John will have his Radio Merit Badge participants on the air on Wednesdays beginning June 15th and running through July 21st. And we continue to have Dale Finley, KB5NFT, the control operator for the Portable 5 station at the Philmont Scout Camp in Cimarron, New Mexico, running throughout the summer. Please help support this activity and others involving youth and amateur radio by working and spotting them on the air and online. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Thanks, Bill. Now let's all get on the air and support the youth of scouting and ham radio. And speaking of youth, another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is drawing to a close at midnight, June 30th. More info and the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab. And finally, this past Saturday, June 11th, was the first anniversary of the passing of Newsline's creator, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I spoke with several hams who were close to Bill, and you can hear their comments in the final segment of this week's Newsline report or on the Newsline website under the Extra tab. To say we miss Bill is, of course, a huge understatement. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 38 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Bill Stearns, NE4D, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a massive coronal hole that's slamming Earth with some fast solar wind, and some new active regions are finally rotating onto the East Limb and upping activity and giving ham radio operators something to smile about. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun's activity is really picking up this week. You can see we have this massive coronal hole. It starts in the North Pole and it even comes all the way down, even past the equator. And this massive thing is going to give us some fast wind. It already has been buffeting Earth and it's been giving us some fast wind, and it will continue to do so easily over the next couple days. Things are going to be a bit sporadic. We're probably not going to see a lot of aurora from this one, but it is going to up the amateur radio bands just a little bit, maybe help with some propagation. Plus, we have some new active regions that are rotating into Earth view, and one of them has already fired off a solar storm, not really headed toward Earth though, but this activity is going to make everybody stand up and pay attention and hopefully give you amateur radio operators something to smile about. Switching to your mFLAR threat meter, you can see we've actually been pretty quiet. We did get a little activity starting around the 7th and 8th that then kind of popped up and gave us some C-class flares. This was mainly from region 2552 and a little bit from 2554. We even had a C-class flare up back on the 11th that was actually pretty eruptive. It was kind of beautiful, but it was already, the region was already rotating off into the west limb. Since then, things have been quieting down and they will continue to do so. And with the new regions that are rotating onto the disk right now, are probably not going to give us too many flares. So you amateur radio operators, don't expect to see any M-class activity anytime soon. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see actually back on the 5th, we did have the beginning of that solar storm that gave us some really gorgeous aurora. That lasted in through the 6th. Since then, things have pretty much calmed down. We get a few pops here and there just from some disturbances in the solar wind. Not really too much in terms of solar storms, but we did start getting this fast wind right here on the 15th, and it did jump us up for a short while up to a KP of 6. That actually gave us some serious interruptions of amateur radio bands, but it didn't really do too much else. Things have calmed back down a little bit, and now we're kind of enjoying some northward field, which is actually improving the amateur radio bands, but it isn't giving us much aurora. Now, switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are in the middle of that high-speed wind, you know, from that huge coronal hole, and this is going to continue for the next few days. Well, NOAA is giving us at high latitudes about a 50% chance of a major storm, but at mid-latitudes, maybe about a 20% chance of a minor storm. Now, again, we're not seeing much aurora from this because the magnetic field is pointed the wrong way. It actually should help amateur radio a bit, but it'll still be sporadic no matter what because everything's kind of turbulent, but it is moving very fast. So the solar wind is going to continue to keep us busy and disturbed over the next 3 days at least. Things should then calm down right around the 18th, but it might pick back up again as we get the wake of a solar storm that isn't going to hit Earth, but it's kind of going to sideswipe us. So we might see a little bit of activity starting again on the 19th. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, pretty much everything is in the green when it comes to flares. We don't really have any active regions on the Earth-facing disk right now that are any worry for M-class flares. However, we do have region 2554 that might give us something, maybe some C-class flares here and there before it rotates off of the west limb, which will be in a few days. Meanwhile, we are still experiencing some low solar flux, so it's kind of like marginal amateur radio, and expect this condition to continue, but it might up a little bit as these regions on the east limb rotate further into view. We might actually get back into the green. So the phrase for this week in space weather is coronal hole, coronal hole, coronal hole. We have this massive hole that's passing through the Earth view right now, and it is sending us some fast wind, and it will continue to do so over the next few days. Now, it's not really going to help you aurora photographers too much because the fast wind that it's sending has the wrong magnetic field configuration, so probably no aurora. But it actually might help you amateur radio operators because the northward field actually, believe it or not, helps propagation. So let's cross our fingers and hope that it stays that way and doesn't give us too much turbulence in there, because otherwise the bands are going to be good, bad, who knows what you're going to get. Anyway, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that and enjoy what good band work you might get. And then, of course, we've got the new active regions rotating onto the east limb, and that might actually up the solar flux to improve the conditions even more. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Awesome stuff, Dr. T. Thanks for being with us. And, man, that's good stuff. In fact, we're going to talk field day now, so I need to probably put my hat back on because, you know, what, keep myself from away from sunburn. And then, you know, if I decide to look at the sun, I might need, which never look at the sun. It's just, that's a bad idea. Forget I even said that. Let's kick the old Wayback Machine into high gear and go back to some old field day pictures that I found on my old defunct website, which hasn't been updated in like 14 years. I found some field day picks from 1999. There's a newspaper article and a picture of me down in there, too, which is kind of cool. Down there in the bottom. Yeah, there I am. My big old self before I lost all the weight. But anyway, good stuff. And scroll on down and check out some of these pictures. I've told you before how one year we had torrential rain, thunderstorms, and lightning, and an aluminum ladder. There it is. There's the aluminum ladder. And one of those pictures, I know they're hard to see. You may have to zoom in, Vic, and pick. But there's one of those where you actually see one of the hams on the ladder under a tree. The ladder, of course, the aluminum feet of the ladder in a puddle. And lightning popping all around us. So that's the whole thing. You can see we're all just a bunch of drowned rats that year. It was horrible. But, you know, hey, that's part of it. It's emergency preparation. And a lot of times, especially down here, you know, if you're going to set up in an emergency, it's going to be in a hurricane or just after, or, you know, bad weather, thunderstorms, tornadic activity, whatever. You know, it's all part of the thing. So that was 1999. And then we fast forward to 2000, to the next page there, Vic. And here we see this is the year that Steve N5SC, the guy you see there in the headband. I've told this story before how we needed to get a wire antenna over a tree. So Steve was fooling with that slingshot right there. And finally, he tied the tag end of a piece of line onto a jar of pickle relish to get that Carolina Wyndham up in the tree. And he threw it, and it made a beautiful arc. I could tell as soon as it left his hand that it was not going in the right place, and it landed right in the middle. Oh, my God, look at me and my big self. Landed right in the middle of the asphalt jogging trail. And just exploded. So there's Henry, W5HR, taking care of the logging on the old 386 machine. Hey, this was 16 years ago now. So that was field day for the Westside Amateur Radio Club way back then. There's the pickle relish man himself, Steve N5SC. Great guy. He's my Dayton buddy. There's me and Henry, W5HR, trying to figure out which wire goes where. Well, what wire goes here? We finally got it, I think. This was our first time, as I recall, trying to do computer logging. We didn't have a network back then, of course, but it was a lot of fun. So, but anyway, there's some field day memories for you. And, of course, you can make your own. There's Teresa. That's Henry's wife. Sweet lady. So my old West Side running buddies right there. We had a great time. That's a good club. That really is. Fun folks. I miss a lot of those guys. Don't get to see them nearly as often as I like. But anyway, there's some field day memories for me. And of course, you can get out there this year and make your own field day memories. And Val, I think we're going to talk to Val here now about field day and making some memories of your own. Val, right?
Absolutely. And you know how you were talking about gadgets before? I just want to point out, this is one of my favorite gadgets. We got this at DX Engineering. We didn't have, you know how they have free shipping if you have $99 or more. We didn't quite have $99, so we threw this F6 connector tightening tool in the shopping cart to get us to the free shipping, and I absolutely love this tool because we have a lot of beverage antennas, and we use RG6 with the F6 connector, so this works great. Yes, we're going to talk about field day, keeping in the theme of field day. I'm going to talk to you guys about getting those bonus points to get those scores up for your field day. Go ahead and roll that, Brian or Victor.
Field day's right around the corner, so I'm going to focus on how to earn those field day bonus points. Now, there's many bonus points you can get. Obviously, the emergency power, which is standard. You can get 100 points per transmitter if you use a generator or any kind of emergency power. Another way to get some bonus points is to attempt to get some media publicity. Now, there's a couple ways you can go about doing this. If you go to the ARRL website, they actually have a whole section with PSAs that you can send off to your radio station. And there's even some just for field day. And there's a couple seconds at the end so you can tag the location of your field day event so you can get some visitors out there. Also, they include in your field day packet a sample letter that you can fill your information out on, and you're going to want to fax it for best success to your local radio, TV, and newspaper outlets. And make sure you include contact information because they just might want to stop out and do a story on your field day. Another idea is to have your event in a public location. Now, we all seem to go to the parks, but consider something non-traditional, like City Hall. That will almost guarantee you'll get an elected official to show up, or a shopping center, fire station, school, any non-traditional place where you'll see a lot of traffic or a lot of non-hams that could show up, and you can help promote the hobby. Now, you obviously want to make sure you have permission to operate there. And you're going to want to make sure you have a public information table for when the visitors do show up. You're going to want to have a log for guests to check in. And you're going to want to have some kind of flyers or information to hand out if they're interested in field day. Or I created this flyer for anybody who might be interested in amateur radio. Now, I did go online and look for any classes in my area within the next 6 months. And unfortunately, there weren't any. But if there were, I would have put that information on this flyer as well. Now, I'll have all these forms available on our Facebook page in case you want to download them for yourself. And once field day is over, when you send in your supporting documentation, you're going to want to make sure you send in your visitor log and copies of any flyers that you did pass out. Another way you can earn 100 points is to send a message to the section manager or your section emergency coordinator. Now, this involves sending a standard ARRL radiogram. And there's certain information that you do need to include, like the number of participants, your location, club name, things like that. If you want more information on this, I'm going to post a video on how to do a radiogram on our Facebook page. You can also earn up to 10 points for every message that you handle, either outgoing or that you receive incoming from your field day site. So get creative with it rather than send them to other hams. As your visitors show up at the site, why not ask them if they want to send a message, maybe to their wife down the street or to their old army buddy that lives in the Philippines, and show them what ham radio can do. Now, here's a sample one. And again, more information on doing radiograms is going to be available on our Facebook page. So if you just do 10 of these, there's 100 points. Now, you can also get 100 points if you can make a satellite contact. You can also get 100 points if you can make an alternative power contact, like solar or battery. And Amanda's going to talk to you about those two items in a little bit. A really easy way to get 100 points is to make sure you designate somebody in charge of copying down the W1AW bulletin. Now, they're going to be repeating that bulletin throughout field day on phone, CW, and digitally. And there's the schedule. You get that in your field day package. Make sure that you take that copy down message and include that in your supplemental packet that you mail in. Another thing to do is an educational activity. At one of our field days, we all learned how to set up and use skimmer. It was very educational. A lot of different ideas on what you could have somebody do. It needs to be a formal educational activity given to the other operators at your field day site or visitors as well. And it can't be just a bunch of people standing around watching somebody do CW. It has to be a formal educational activity. Want to earn another 100 points? Make sure your site is visited by an elected government official or be visited by a representative of an agency served by ARES, like your fire, EMS, Red Cross, things like that. Now, Amanda's going to talk about that as well. Now, here's where you can really rack up some extra bonus points, and that's with your GOTA station or get on the air station. Now, if you're a Class A or F group with two or more transmitters, you can have a free GOTA station. And what free means is that it won't change your classification. Now, it has to be 150 watts or less running from your GOTA station, and it can be HF or VHF, so why not make it 6 meters? Now, this station needs to use a different call sign for the duration than your field day call sign, but they are going to use the same exchange, like 2-alpha. Now, it can be operated by any person just licensed since last year's field day, regardless of their class. It can also be operated by non-licensed people, provided they're under direct supervision of a control operator. And you have to include the list of all ops and participants when you turn in your supplemental information. Now, remember, any non-hams can only make contact with USA, Canada, or countries where we have a third-party agreement. So if you want to try and score the maximum amount of points with GOTA, you can have a GOTA operator who earns 20 points for every 20 QSOs. They can make up to 100 contacts, getting 100 points. Now, you can do that again with another GOTA operator, and they can earn 100 points. Now, remember, a GOTA station can only make a maximum of 500 QSOs. So in order to gain those 500 points, you would want five operators to each make 100 contacts. Now, there's no points for partial. So if they make 19 contacts, you get 0 points. Now, if they were all under the direct supervision of a GOTA coach, and he was there with them the entire time to help them talk them through the contacts and answer any questions, and he did not make any QSOs and he did not perform any logging functions, then you doubled that 500 points to 1,000 points. And you can also earn 50 points by submitting your logs and information from Field Day through their web portal, and there's their information for the web portal. And obviously, you're not going to be able to put everything in there. You're still going to need to mail them supporting documentation like photos with elected officials and things like that. Another way to earn some easy points is to have some kids at your field day. Now, anybody under the age of 18 that makes at least one QSO, you're going to get 20 points. Up to a maximum of 100 points, and that's if you're class A, C, D, E, or F. Now, class B operations, that's with either one operator or two. So if you're a class B one operator, you're only allowed one youth to get the extra points. If you're a two operator class B station, you can have two youths and earn the 40 points. Next is a brand new way to get 100 points, and that's utilizing social media, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I set up a Facebook page for our Field Day group, and this is going to help generate excitement, get people to learn about Field Day, and maybe get people to show up at your site. And another new addition this year for extra bonus points is to have a safety officer. Put one person in charge as safety officer. They include in your packet this checklist. Now, that safety officer is going to be responsible for making sure that everything on this checklist is taken care of, and he will need to sign off on this checklist, and that does need to be submitted with your packet as well. So if you make a good effort and try and do everything on this list, do you know how many points you can earn? You can earn up to 2,550 extra points. Now, if you're running high power doing sideband contacts, that's 2,550 contacts. Now, unfortunately, 10 minutes is not a lot of time where I could go into detail on a lot of this stuff. So you're going to want to make sure you read your rules to get any clarification you need on these bonus points. I'm also going to put a lot of this stuff up on our Facebook page, so look there as well. Something else you're going to want to do for Field Day is make sure you put the location of your Field Day group on the ARRL website in their locator section. So if you go down here into the locator area and click there and hit go now, and you're going to want to make sure you're logged in, and you can go in and add your Field Day site. Now, it's pretty self-explanatory to enter your information as they ask for it above. It's pretty intuitive. If you do have a talk-in frequency, you want to make sure and put that. If you're going to have a GOTA station, make sure you fill that out and make sure that has to be a different call sign, as I said before, for any GOTA station that you have. Then you want to go down to the map, and you're going to move that little cursor there to where your field day is located. And just keep zooming in and whatever and tweaking it till you can get it right on your field day location so people can easily find you on the ARRL website locator. And then you just hit save, and let's go see if it works. So I'm going to go ahead and put our call sign in up there and see if we can locate that. And there we are in green, and you can keep zooming in and just make sure it's in the right location. So now people can easily find our field day location.
So, and I now get to do something I normally never get to do. I get to pass it to Amanda, who's going to talk to you about some bonus points as well.
Hey, thanks, Val. A couple of the things I wanted to talk about. First, Victor, if you don't mind going to the first slide, here's your invitation letter that you want to send to your elected officials. And also it works for your served agencies as well. Just ask them, tell them where you're going to be and make sure you personalize it. Tell them how you've helped in your own community and that kind of interests them a little bit more. Now, rather than just using the letter, which I email to all of my elected officials here, I also show up to city council meetings because they always have the open section where everyone's open for business that they didn't have scheduled. So you just sign up in the little slip of paper and say, I'm here to talk about amateur radio field day, and you invite the officials that way as well. So the next slide just shows me with two. Actually, this was pretty cool. My county commissioner showed up the same time as a served agency did. So what other better photo op could you have than to have both of them in one? So I have my county commissioner, Debbie Bell, there. And the served agency was from the sheriff's office. So that was pretty cool to have them both at the same time. And then the next picture here I have for you is just to show us... and now I can't remember what order they were in. Yes, this is us making our satellite contact. And we did. We kind of killed. And this is very important, you guys. Remember, do not hog the satellites. Only one contact. One contact with one satellite. That's it. That leaves it open so everyone else has an opportunity to work them because it's such a small window of opportunity to work them. So that was us trying to make our first contact. That, by the way, that time was a no-go. In fact, I don't think we made a contact, but we were also trying to do it on solar at the same time. So and it was unfortunate. We just didn't make it that year. And then the next photo I have for you is that's me this week. I'm sitting there waiting to read the proclamation of Amateur Radio Week. Now, it's kind of funny, and I want to remind you of things that you're not going to get bonus points for, too. So this is one of those things you don't get bonus points for. The proclamation of Amateur Radio Week is really cool, but you don't get any extra points for it. And that's kind of been a misconception of some people. They think you get another 100 points for that. You do not. So, and I wanted to get a picture of me actually with them signing it, but the person that took those photos has not sent it to me yet. So thanks, Victor, for that. And the next thing I just want to say, you guys, if you run out of places or people to send your NTS messages to, send them to us. Send one to Val, send one to Don, send them to me. Tell us how fun your field day is so far. So back to you, Val.
Thanks so much, Amanda. I wish we could get you in the middle here more often instead of just at the end. As far as coming up this weekend, before field day, we've got the West Virginia CUSO party. So make sure you get on the air for that. And Saturday is Kids Day. And Kids Day is really easy. All they have to do when they get on the air, any kids, they just give out their name, their age, their location, and their favorite color. So here's your chance to get your kids, your grandkids, kids at your church, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, try and get kids on the air and get them excited about ham radio as much as we are. And if you can't get any kids on the air, get on the air yourself and work these kids so they can have fun working you. So that's all I've got. So right now, let's hear a word from our sponsor, ICOM.
Calling all stations.
The most popular on-air event is here. Field Day, June 25th and 26th. Make sure your ICOM equipment is ready for action.
Limited space, no problem.
The IC7100 base station is a great compact D-Star option. Angled control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-bands and all-mode communications.
Be one of the first to experience
how ICOM is changing the way receivers are being designed with ICOM's new IC7300. It will exceed expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot.
The sky's no limit.
With IC9100, the versatile all-around transceiver, multi-band, multi-mode, independent dual receivers, satellite mode operation, optional D-Star DV mode with the UT-121, and USB connector for PC control. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can enter in the grand prize drawing for a radio. Each month, they give away another radio. And for June, it's going to be the ICOM ID5100 dual band, dual watch, VHF, UHF transceiver. It's got touchscreen, analog and D-Star, internal GPS, DV, and FM repeater list-up functions, available Bluetooth unit and headset, Android application, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Well, everyone's talking about field day tonight, and, you know, I'm getting ready for it myself. I've cut a bunch of wires here. I'm going to try some verticals this year instead of the old dipoles because it was kind of hard last year getting the slingshot to shoot the fishing weight through the trees. We spent more time doing that than almost anything else. So I'm going to try some verticals this year. And, of course, I've also got 497 and a half feet of rope. I've got a 10-person tent this year we're going to use, and we're going to try to air condition it again rather than build one out of Viscreen like we did last year. It worked great, but, boy, setup was kind of tough. Anyway, you know, I was thinking about field day, and what we like to do here is we've got a Google Doc that we share with the people who are going to attend our field day event. And everybody can go through there and check off what they're going to bring or add stuff to the list so that by the time field day gets here, we'll kind of know who's bringing what. And it's just an easy way to plan because everybody doesn't have to be together at one time. We can kind of plan it over the course of some weeks in advance. Well, tonight I'm looking back at a couple of field days from years gone by. You know, our friend Peter down in Melbourne, Australia, didn't really know what field day was about, so we had to kind of show him.
George, what's field day all about?
Field day. Well, let's just get right into it and have a look at this first segment here. As we look around here, this is mostly amateur radio operators. There's a bus back there in the background with some kind of antenna stuck up on top of it. I like that boom truck there. And then as we go up on the hill here, there's some kind of vertical right there. Is that a butternut? Is that what they call it? A gap antenna. Gap vertical. You remember our buddy Wayne from, I don't remember which episode it was, but we'll flash it on the screen. Episode three, the Ham Fest. He's going to be narrating some with us today. Now, that's a neat-looking antenna right there. I wonder who's driving that thing with the upside-down radials. Who's that right beside him? Well, that's KG5RE and the Porcupine.
Oh, George, it looks like you were having a lot of fun out there.
Well, I didn't actually work at that event, you know. I did my field day before I went out there. And no, I didn't make a whole lot.
Peter, do they have anything similar in the land down under?
Well, Jimmy, to be perfectly honest, until I saw that segment, I'd never actually heard of field day. But I went and did a little bit of research on the internet, and I found out that in every March in Australia, we actually have a field day called the John Moyle Field Day.
So do you plan to participate in the next event?
Sure. Next March, I'll organise a portable setup, and I'll head out to some scenic location and try and contact a few people. And I'll bring along a camera as well to show you what happens.
You know, I wanted to do something a little bit unusual, so here you go. It's June the 23rd, 2007, and that means field day to us amateur radio operators. I'm sitting here on my ride and more. Which has a 12-volt battery starter on it and an alternator or a generator of some type to keep the battery charged. So I'm thinking I have an amateur rig that'll operate off 12 volts. Why couldn't I just operate it off the lawnmower here and use it as an emergency generator? I actually have a generator, but
You know, what fun would that be? First order of business is to make sure that this is safe.
Okay, at the lowest idle speed, we're showing 12.74 volts, so I don't think that would be a problem. I think we could operate off of that. Let's run the engine on up a little faster. Yeah, N5ZNO, this is W5JDX coming in loud and clear here. You're my first contact for field day. I am operating a lawnmower portable.
You know, that's the most fun I ever had with that lawnmower.
I bet.
Now, talk about entertainment value. That segment had a lot of entertainment value, George.
Well, no doubt.
It's a unique segment.
Well, Jim, I think really yours has more entertainment value than mine.
Well, okay. Well, we'll just have a look and see.
Okay.
Okay, let's see how our stand is going to react to that. Okay, I'm thinking no is the answer there. This is a 5-foot mast, TV mast, and if it will fit inside our stake, this is a 17-foot telescoping bird feeder pole that technically belongs to my wife. You always be acutely aware of the location of any power lines or anything else that you might touch with an antenna mast. Safety first, right? Whoop. If my mic is still working, if you're looking for where to tie off the wires, make sure that each step you take around the pool is actually on the ground and not over the pool. We can start making some QSOs. Maybe, if our little 5 watts can be heard. It's 9 p.m. It's taking a lot longer to get going than I ever would have dreamed.
Jim's got the potato shooter here.
And his special fuel. Special fuel is Aquanet. Use this for all your potato gun needs.
Middle Watch out, pine. Bill. You don't want applesauce all over you.
About that middle pine or the far one? This one. Two. Three.
Oh, man. She has a body here.
That happens sometimes.
Three.
Two. One. Much more success.
Did you see how far I cast that apple with this fishing pole?
Starter flood, this is it. This is the moment of truth. If this don't work, we might as well go home. Uh-oh.
For logging here, we're using the squirrel program. Basically, all our stations today will be operating under my call sign, W5JDX, so we can submit the log as a group. Bad ammo.
I did catch an apple.
And the generator's still on the first tank of fuel, and here comes Jim now. What's going on, Jim?
Well, me and Tom have been setting up our tent. Woo! Let me just say, field day needs to be in December. Well, nighttime has descended here at the ALTV field day site, and I'm currently off duty as far as operating goes. So, I've prepared myself to enjoy another hobby, which many amateurs share, including Tommy and myself. That hobby would be photography, and in this case, specifically, astrophotography, which is just a fancy word for taking pictures of the stars. One reason we chose this particular site for field day, after all, was for its dark skies or lack of light pollution, thereby affording us the opportunity to capture some great nighttime sky images with our cameras. The images you are now seeing are the galactic plane, also known as the Milky Way, coming into view just above the trees here that surround our field day site. Here are a few other images captured as a time lapse and played back as a movie.
Light pollution is a major problem affecting amateur astronomers and astrophotographers. The bottom line is, it's very hard to find a place where the skies are truly 100% dark these days.
Tom is still over there on 20 meters, although he...
After a hearty breakfast.
Yeah.
On pre-made plates.
And we've set ourselves a goal for the number of contacts we're going to make, which is incredibly low compared to the clubs and all. But, you know, this is our first year.
That was a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but really it wasn't any more than I thought it was going
to
be.
No, really not. And, you know, we chose to go the harder route. We chose to take the path less taken, as Robert Frost would say. We chose to come to the woods and carve out a spot and raise up our own antennas. And of course, a lot of people do that on field day, but it's the first time we've ever done it as a group.
Yeah.
You know, field day is always a lot of fun. Each group does it a little bit differently. Some people do it individually, but that's kind of how we do it around here. Now, the clubs are more organized, and they actually get sizable points. We just go out to have a good time, test our gear, and make sure that everything works. And it's been a blast, so I'm really looking forward to another fun one this year. And I hope you are, too. You know, you still got a couple of weeks, so pull some plans together. You can go on the ARRL website, use the field day locator to find an event going on, or you could even just take your own gear out in the backyard, if nothing else, set it up and make some contacts. Well, last week, you know, I asked a question, which of the following results from the fact that skip signals refracted from the ionosphere are elliptically polarized? Your choices were A, digital modes are unusable, B, either vertical or horizontally polarized antennas may be used for transmission or reception, C, FM voice is unusable, or D, both the transmitting and receiving antennas must be the same polarity. Well, Gary, W4EEY, had the correct answer. He said it was B, either vertically or horizontally polarized antennas may be used for transmission or reception. So congratulations, Gary. We're going to send you this MFJ-113 giant digital clock. It's an alarm clock, 12 or 24 hours. We know you'll enjoy that. And I've got another prize for next week. And that's going to be a DX Engineering coffee mug. You know, this could come in handy for field day. If you'd like to win it, I'm going to ask the question I've asked before, and it never gets old, or maybe it's always old. What year was the first year the ARRL held field day? If you think you know the answer to that, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might be next week's lucky winner. So now let's get Val on in here and see what's happening this week in the chat room. Not Val, Amanda.
That's okay. All right, thanks, George. First of all, I'd just like to say, you guys, make sure you post your pictures to our Facebook page, Ham Nation on twit.tv. Also, Valerie, I always forget, what's the Twitter name?
That's a good question. I should know that too.
Is it just Ham Nation on Twit TV?
I think so. Yeah, there it is. HN on Twit. Yep.
Well, you either follow us or you don't. So yeah. If you follow us, you're going to find it pretty easily. Anyhow, thank you. All right, let's go to some questions. First of all, it's been a good conversation came up in the chat room, and this is about, why are you guys pushing making bonus points? Well, we're not actually pushing you guys to make bonus points. That's not our intention at all. We're just trying to make you aware of some of the bonus points that you can make. I know that some groups, some clubs are really, really hardcore about getting every single point, every single QSO that they can. But there's the other groups that are completely laid back. They're not really into having the public come out and see them. Just like the video you just saw with George, you know, they went into the middle of the woods. There's a lot of QRPers that just want to throw a wire up in a tree. I say you take field day as far as you want to take it. Have no pressure on you to do something. It's really, the basics are about testing your 24-hour operability. What do you think, Don? Don's with us, right?
Yeah, I was muted. I agree. You know, it's all about fun. I mean, it is the most popular operating event pretty much on the planet, for sure the most popular AWRL operating event. And yeah, there are points involved. And yeah, it's kind of a contest. But, you know, it's all about getting out there and figuring out what you can do when the poop hits the prop. And if you can make a few contacts and have some fun with it, so much the better. I mean, you know, I've told the story, told it again tonight about the exploding pickle relish jar. I know that the QST magazine likes to run pictures of field day. They'll run all kind of, you know, you send a picture to QST, likely they're going to run it. We tried to spell out the club call one year in bacon in the frying pan on Sunday morning, and we just couldn't quite get there. I think the A kept disappearing, but nonetheless, for W5ABD, which of course that was American Beer Drinkers, that was our phonetic. So, you know, it's as fun or as serious as you want to make it, and that's the whole point about field day, is get out there and figure out how to get your stuff going in the event of an emergency. And if you can have fun and make points too, so much the better.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely more about fun. If you're feeling stressed the whole time, you're definitely not in the right place. Val, I know you guys have a ton of fun. How many people show up to your field day every year?
Well, we just started a new group for this year, so there's only going to be six of us. So we're going to try and be two alpha. And a lot of things with these points that we showed you, it's to teach you different aspects of the hobby, like traffic handling, or to get the word out about the hobby. And that's why they're giving you these points, so you can spread the word. So, and that's the goal here, is for us to learn how to handle emergency traffic and situations. That's the purpose of it. So that's why a lot of those things, the points have to do with that, or getting people who aren't normally exposed to amateur radio exposed to the hobby. But one year I just went field day hopping. I went online to the locator and I found a bunch of field days in both Wisconsin and Illinois. And I just spent the day hitting a bunch of different field days because I was just starting off and I wasn't sure which type I'd like to be involved with. And that might be a great way for those of you just starting off. Just go field day hopping and see which group you feel at home at, with. So.
Exactly. That's a really good idea, actually. And this, I always thought of when I first did field day, I was a technician and it was a way for me to be on the HF bands, and they let me get on the air. So that's kind of a fun aspect too, is if you've never really done HF, you don't know if you want to get that far in your hobby, definitely go to the field day site and check it out and see if you even like it before you invest a lot of money into it. That's also another good aspect about it. Other thing, yes, definitely. I love the points with the go to station because it really encourages you to encourage the children to come out. Get your youth out there. Get them on the radio. Let them have fun. Let them meet other people. And everybody on the air, it's so funny when you listen to, you can almost hear a go to station. You kind of know you're working one. You know what I'm saying, Val. You get, and they're a little slow and they don't know the phonetics, but we're there to be nice to them and to really help them out, right? That's kind of what it's about. It's kind of fun to meet those people.
Yeah, this weekend too, for Kids Day, if you hear kids on the air, get out and work those kids. So absolutely.
Yeah, and that's another, it's so cute to hear them because they almost lock up, they get mic shy, and we're there to help them make it through the contact, be supportful of those people for sure. And I do actually have one real question here, seriously, you guys. And I don't know who I'm going to ask this to because it was really for Gordo, but KJ4GSX, Chris, he wants to know if his field day designator is marine mobile if he's on the pontoon boat in the middle of Douglas Lake. Now, I don't know where Douglas Lake is, but if you're on a lake, are you marine mobile then at that point in time?
I think it has to be salt water, right?
Anyone?
There's a difference between marine mobile and maritime mobile.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's that. So it's, I think it's maritime if you're actually on like navigable water. And it's Marine Mobile, I think, if you're just out in a boat, I think. I could be wrong. Okay. Sounds right.
See, we totally needed Gordo for that. I'm sorry, Chris, yeah. I can't answer your question. I'll ask it again next week if he's going to be here. And speaking of next week, we'll have, I think Bob will be back next week, right, Don?
No, I think he's gone next week, too. So the inmates really? Will again be running the asylum.
We didn't even do anything wrong this week. No, nothing. You didn't even
We're
make
not
me
done
blush.
Yet.
Yeah,
we're not
done yet. Early.
There you go. Well, hey, you guys, that's all
anybody
the questions.
For field day, make sure you take pictures or video and send them to Dale, because he'll love getting that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And Dale will be back next week, though. That's a plus. I forgot about that. His health is definitely improving, and he felt good this week, but he knew that this wasn't his week to be on. So we'll look forward to seeing you again next week, Dale. And I haven't been paying attention in the chat room. I think that there's some nets. I think 20 meters was a bust tonight. So I think we're on 7180. Guys, correct me if I'm wrong in chat room. 14 Charlie for D-Star. And, of course, Dewdrop in for Echo Link. That's what I've got tonight. Back to you, Don. Thanks, Everett. Val, thanks so much. Great slideshow.
Oh, thank you, Amanda, too.
Yep. Yeah, I think we're about done. Field day, of course, coming up. And everybody get out and have fun, whether you're doing it with a big super club or you're doing it with your local club or you're going to do something out in the backyard on your own or even like I did last year, first time I'd ever done it, as a One Delta, sitting right here. I made a ton of contacts, and 6 meters was wide open last year. And 6 meters has been hopping this week already. I've been seeing, as I've been sitting at work going home, man, I wish I was home. I've been seeing the 6 meter post on social media. 6 meters is hopping, so hopefully it will continue on. So that's all I have. George, back to you.
Okay, Don. Great show tonight. Glad that you all could make it. Good to have Gordo with us, and he's going to have some more photos on field day next week. He actually was supposed to have 50 of them this week, but somehow I think only 10 of them made it over to the studio there. So he'll have a lot more for next week. Val, any final words before we go?
Nope. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Have fun at field day and Kids on the Air and West Virginia CUSA party this weekend. That's it.
Okay. And happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, didn't even think about that. Amanda?
Yeah. Hey, the only other thing I had to add was, Val, I loved hearing you on 6 meters this last weekend. Yeah. I was sitting right there. I was the wingman trying to take call signs down. I was like, okay. And then all the November Victor. And I was like, oh, my God. Sorry, you guys didn't mean to scream.
Yeah, but I heard you in the background when I was working Jeff. Was it Jeff I was working?
No, it was one of our friends, Doug, but close enough. Oh, okay. They're like brothers. So
yeah, I heard you in the background screaming, Val!
That's all I have. Over,
I got this in the mail, too, this week. I should show.
Oh, that's all right.
The FCC plaque.
That's a big deal.
It's exciting.
All right. Is it going to go up right next to Jerry's?
No, back there. My little corner. Jerry's got three walls. I have a corner.
Oh.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
I'll get there someday.
Yep. 7:30, everyone. We'll see you again next week.